Hi, everyone. This is your post-April Fool's Day edition of your Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Thanks for sticking around for our next edition. It's been a little bit, but there was a West Coast trip in between. Chris Bowden, your Blackhawks pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio, coming to you with the Chelsea blogger, the NHL.com correspondent, Scott King, following the Blackhawks 4-3 overtime loss to the Winnipeg Jets on Monday night. And Scott, as we look at this game there, it's again one of those glass half full, glass half empty situations where they managed to stay alive. By the time 11 o'clock or so rolls around, what we're talking about on Tuesday night, but what we're talking about now could really have no meaning at all, because Colorado has a chance with 1 point to eliminate the Blackhawks from playoff contention. That's all they need. But they live another day here. And from what I heard out of the locker room, there was still a pretty positive vibe to live another day, even though I think they're very well aware of the gravity of the situation that they have really put themselves into with what they have and haven't done over the course of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, first, you know, it's 11:34 on Monday, April 1st, so there's still plenty of time to prank you. But okay. No, I want to get
Let's do the podcast first.
All right, all right. No, yeah, they could obviously be done on Tuesday, but it is good to see where they were and where they're coming from, and that's, you know, the Jets are a good team. They're in first right now. They might finish there in the Central. They might make a big splash in the playoffs, and you see the Hawks kind of get down almost two goals with that video review and come back and tie it up and never really give up in that game, never really out of it. And, you know, you could say that a lot about their season. They had good stretches, some good streaks, and then they had some bad ones. You know, you beat the Sharks, and then you lose to the Kings. A lot of back and forth and games and stretches like that. So it's a team that had some holes, had some problems, but they never put themselves out of it, so to speak, even though we might be coming down the stretch here. They might be out shortly, but that's the kind of team it was this year.
Yeah, and obviously the bar is set higher in this organization, especially after not making the playoffs. Now it looks like two straight years after two straight years of first-round exits. But they're in a better place right now than they were a year ago. They're not by any means where they want to be. And that's been the continuing theme from Jeremy Colleton, which I've really liked hearing him say. And, you know, he has been a steady hand through all this, really settling into this head coaching job. But when you do look back at it, when they had that second wild card spot on February 20th for all of, 45 minutes or so, they had a total of seven games coming up against Colorado, Arizona, and Dallas. There's still another Dallas game to be played here, but by then the Blackhawks may well be out of it. Out of those seven games, the Blackhawks were only able to pick up 5 points. And then you have the LA Kings problem, where the Blackhawks, in six games this year, managed to get all of 2 points, all of them losses in one form or another against the worst team in the West. So there was all this that was in front of them, but I think, you know, when you talk about missed opportunities, it's also a narrative and a definition of how flawed this team is. Showed a lot of guts and charisma in finding ways to get back into the race, but there's still a couple of key areas in this roster that are going to need to be addressed in the offseason.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we know the obvious ones. I don't know how easy it is to get the defenseman you may need. It'll be interesting to see if Delia is indeed going to be your backup after his multi-year deal. But yeah, I totally agree with you. A lot of guts at times when they need this season, so the season didn't completely fall apart early. But, you know, they have meaningful games now. You know, definitely a little bit ago they were very meaningful, and now they still kind of aren't until they're out.
And before we hear from Duncan Keith, because, you know, he was almost chipper at the start of his session with the media on Monday night. But a couple of things here in that during this recent stretch, the power play plus the offensive drought is the biggest culprit here, where the big guns who have carried the Blackhawks for so long have gone into these ruts. Now, Monday night we saw Dylan Strome, after zero goals in his previous 12 games, come up. You see him get back into things. Earlier we saw Alex DeBrincat on that road trip snap out of his rut. Patrick Kane, who was so spectacular for every month of the season leading up to about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He is in one of the deepest scoring droughts of his career, 10 straight. His longest is 13. I went and looked it up. That was in his rookie year. And this is his longest one since he had 11-game goalless streak 5 years ago. So I think all this ice time has kind of caught up with him. All of the production that, you know, the team is so grateful that he provided in insane numbers has dried out here. And you can tell he's really fighting. And it's also affected him on the defensive end with a key mistake on that tying goal in L.A. And on this first goal on Monday night against the Winnipeg Jets, losing his man there, that was the guy who ended up scoring the goal. And, you know, even some of his decisions in the offensive zone, I think some could question. So two goals in the last 17 games. Not to take anything away from what he has done, because he was definitely, if this team made the playoffs, in the Hart Trophy conversation, and well deserved. But it just seems like he has hit, you know, a physical, a mental, psychological wall right now.
That's what I was going to say. If he's not physically tired, he's definitely mentally tired too, from all those, not just extra minutes when he's double shifting and Colleton has him on a couple of lines while they're trying to figure things out with the offense. He's in all the special team situations, maybe not so much on the kill, but just playing a ton. And that shows you, you know, no matter which elite athlete you are gonna be sucking some wind at some point if you play that much. And look, you, like we were talking about, you have Taves come back and DeBrincat and Strom when the offense kind of went cold in some of those games they need to win maybe a couple weeks ago, and Kane's really the only guy of the explosive offense they've had this season that has not come back, and that's definitely probably physically and mental fatigue he's dealing with. And you know, it'd be nice to see him, whether out of it or not, nice to see him finish the season strong. And hopefully he can.
Yeah, and he deserves all the rope we can possibly give him, despite all of this, for what he was able to produce earlier in the season. And you know, whether that's the case, he's never going to admit it. And you mentioned Jonathan Taves matches his career high in goals with the first goal on the power play on Monday night, 34 for the season. That's also his 77th point. That's also another career high. So what you hope is that those guys can continue carrying that over into next season as well.
And Kane, even with this drought, is just 1 point shy of when he won the Hart.
Right.
He hit 105 now compared to 106 in 2015-16. So, I mean, you're talking he gets 1 point somehow, you know, an empty net goal or something in one of these last games, and he ties his career best.
And the other guy that's just production-wise has been out of his mind is Erik Gustafsson, another three-point night on Monday. And we've seen incremental improvement in his defensive game. There were a couple of mistakes on Monday night, but overall, over the course of the last month, he had to revisit it a couple of times where his defensive game slipped or he made some crucial mistakes. We're seeing that less often here. All right, we talked about Duncan Keith meeting the media, and let's hear what he had to say. And it's a little bit more wide-ranging. He talks about the energy he's had this year compared to last year when they were out of it by the time the calendar practically flipped to March. Here we are in April. They're still mathematically involved, as in Monday night. And, you know, he talked about, you know, how he's been energized by the fact that this team is still in it. Not a perfect team by any means. Not the same teams he was on in 10 and 13 and 15. But this session with the reporters started out with him being asked about the fact that since Colorado only picked up 1 point and the Blackhawks were able to match it, that they were still alive for another day.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was a huge goal to get it to overtime there. Obviously, we needed that. So, you know, somehow I lived to fight another day, and we just, you know, worry about the next game and doing everything we can to just focus on that and trying to win the game.
What was the feeling like after you get their goal overturned and then you guys get a goal? You're starting to feel like fate's on your side, at least tonight.
Yeah, definitely felt fortunate there to get that one reversed. You know, and it just kind of works out that way. So obviously we got a bit of a break there, but it was the right call, and we did a good job of forcing overtime.
Are you guys aware of that Colorado game when it goes final and knowing that you need to get it to overtime?
Yeah, I don't think we were aware that it went into overtime, but, you know, just doing everything we can to get points and obviously try to win the game.
However the season turns out, just being able to come back from January and where you were and even come back tonight? How important is that for this team going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot more fun playing meaningful games at this time of the year compared to last year, for sure. Still feel like we got a long way to go, but you know, there's definitely been a lot of improvement since around January, and you know, that's a good sign. We need that. You know, we're competitive, and we've been in every, you know, mostly every game. It's just a matter of either execution or, you know, bad break here and there. So, you know, we know that we still have our work cut out for us here this rest of the way here, and maybe need a few breaks. But you know, we're still gonna be holding out hope.
Colorado plays tomorrow night. Are you a guy who watches other games when it's relevant to you like that, or are you just going to kind of keep tabs on it?
I don't know. I think for sure. I think now, this time of year, with the situation we're in, going to be watching and you know, doing that scoreboard watching, making sure that hopefully they lose.
Isn't that kind of tough, though, because there's nothing you can do about it? You have to watch something unfold.
Yeah, obviously that's the situation we're in. We put ourselves in that situation. That's the tough part, knowing that we're in this hole, but there's nothing we can do about it now. It's just, you know, hopefully they lose, and hopefully we win the next game.
What makes Jonathan the type of player that can have a career year after one of his most struggling ones?
Well, he's got a lot of pride, and you know, I think last year was kind of a situation for everybody where, you know, it was it was a tough year. I mean, there's a lot of things that went on, and you know, we could sit here and name a bunch of things, but at the end of the day, I think Taser's a great player. He's always been a great player in this league, and you know, even last year we knew what he still brought to this team, and whether his points were down or whatnot, but you know, he's got a lot of pride, and you know, he's still that top line centerman that we got on our team that a lot of teams would like to have.
Duncan, you pinpoint one thing particular that puts you in this position now that you're basically in kind of trouble here?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you pinpoint one thing in particular, but it's a team game, and you know, it's been an odd season in a lot of ways too, where, you know, it looked like pretty bleak at certain times of the year, and we were able to fight back. So right now I just think our focus is on you know, trying to win our next game, and doing a little scoreboard watching, hopefully we can catch a break.
Anybody on the bench concerned at all because you was fighting after a recent concussion?
Well, never want to see him taking hits to the head, anybody for that matter, but Buff's a big guy, and you know, he plays a hard-nosed game, and that's what this team needs. It's what we need out of him. So you know, we don't ever want to see a player or you know, especially on our team, getting hit in the head like that. But you know, like I said, he brings a lot of energy and feistiness to our team, and we need that.
Duncan Keith, a plus 22 since January 17th. That's more like the Duncan Keith we got to know. And, you know, so even some of the numbers, you know, he's scoring 6 goals as well, kind of reflecting in the energy that he has gotten with this team in contention. He talked about Drake Caggiula, and the guy is just unbelievable with him being so fearless to a fault sometimes. That's the danger here. And I was able to see Drake in the hallway afterwards, not the singer Drake Caggiula, in the hallway here afterwards, joking around with, I don't know if it's some friends or family members here. And Jeremy Colleton, who we'll hear from a little bit later on, said he came through that tussle with Dustin Byfuglien, which was brewing all night long. He came through it okay. That happened with 13 seconds to go in the game. In his first game back after missing 13 games from a concussion, he gets into it with a guy who's 6'5" and 230 or 40 pounds in Curtis McDermott. You love his feistiness. That's something the Blackhawks need. And kind of like Andrew Shaw back in the day, we're wondering how long can this guy put up with that type of effort and punishment that he's taken. But it's certainly something that energizes this team. It's something that was missing while he was out.
There's a fine line where a player who's gutsy like that is fun to watch versus, oh, not, yeah, I don't like seeing that. I'm a little worried for him. And I think that's when he's coming off and coming back from a concussion like Kajula did, or if when they get into a tussle, a guy gets hit really bad and is slow to get up or something. You know, obviously him coming back so soon, and I think Colleton was expressing he felt the same way. You don't want to see him take shots to the face or head. I really respect and love gutsy players like that. You just don't want to see another head injury or what you just had get worse. So it's good that he's okay, and I'm sure the team appreciates him playing that way, but maybe not the smartest and best guy to do that against.
And he's in the two games back, he's created some offensive chances too. He's, you know, he's gotten some good looks and you know, helped create some opportunities for his line mates. He was back together. Jeremy put him back with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane for this game on Monday night. So he does bring that element to the table when he's able. You just want him to be able, but you know, we've talked previously about some pieces during the course of the season and leading into the season that have been found for the future, no matter where they will slot in. They were great unknowns, but you swap a Manning for a Kajula, you pick up Dylan Strome. Brendan Perlini, unfortunately, has been a roller coaster ride just like this team all season. But you can see the tool. He's got the tools in the toolbox, as some coaches like to say. That's all there. Now it's a matter of tapping into that more consistently. So Kajula, Strome, maybe Perlini. Dominic Cahoon's a guy that has shown, even though he may be running out of gas here in this first type of NHL season, those are pieces for the future. And now it's going to be about what other pieces they can add to the mix, you know, perhaps higher up in the lineup and higher up in the defensive core, how they're able to handle those things. So speaking of Dre Kajula, this was part of Jeremy Colleton's post-game press conference when he met the media. This one only goes about 3 minutes or so, but here you get some of his thoughts on this game on Monday night. The Blackhawks' place right now is they're still in danger of being eliminated on an off night on Tuesday. And just some overall impressions, including Dre Kajula going to battle for this team.
We had our good moments, no question. I thought we shot ourselves in the foot a few times and showed some character to come back. And obviously a nice call from Meacher on the offside there. And find a way to get a point. Obviously would have loved to have two. Pretty standard. We did some good things, and we also made it more difficult than needed at times.
When you pulled Crawford, you know, earlier than usual, probably, did you know already that the Avalanche had gone to overtime?
No, just trying to get your top guys on the ice, and you get it in their end, you got to take them out. So that was kind of the situation there, and nice to see them make a couple plays.
You have three games left, and you're still alive now. How pleased are you that you've got this far, even if it ends tomorrow night when they play the Oilers?
Yeah, we want to drag it out as long as we could. We'd love to, you know, still a chance. So we want to keep getting points, but we're certainly not satisfied with where we're at. We made some progress, but we're all competitors. We want to go all the way.
You see Drake Kajula getting punched in the head so soon after a concussion. What are you thinking when you see that?
Don't love it. I'm surprised that we didn't get a power play out of that one. But seems to be okay. So that's positive because he has a big impact on our team.
Players around the league know when guys are coming back from concussion. Should they take that in consideration when they're going up against a guy like that?
I'm not sure that he knew that. But I just think overall, it's don't love seeing it.
Were you hoping for a spark to Kajula, Toews, and Kane together, putting them
in? Yeah, I think they it's probably as good as we played when they were together and as good as those two have played when Kajula was with them. So obviously we missed them, and you know, whether you go to it right away or not, I felt like we should go back to it at some point. And I thought they had some good shifts, and that's what we're looking for, trying to find, still working on the right combos.
Jeremy, you say that you still have a chance mathematically, but are you kind of resigned to the fate that it's really almost impossible for you to make the playoffs?
Doesn't concern me. I just want us to play well. I want us to perform to our highest level. That's how we're going to move this thing forward and let the results fall as they may. Of course, I know where we stand, but now's not the time to evaluate anything or summarize anything. Take the day off tomorrow and get ready to battle again Wednesday.
So the Blackhawks are wearing all Edmonton Oilers jerseys, waving their flags on Tuesday night as they go into Denver and take on the Avs. Oilers also in a back-to-back, traveling just like the Avs are after their shootout loss 3-2 in St. Louis. And let's really briefly talk about this race, which is absolutely incredible. You mentioned Winnipeg's a very good team, but I thought Monday night you could see why they had lost 4 of 5. All the pieces are there, but they're still not clicking all the way. They were sloppy. The Blackhawks were sloppy at times in this game. They kept each other in the game. And, you know, looking up and down that roster, yes, that victory put them 2 points ahead of Nashville and 2 points now ahead of St. Louis. 2 points separating the top three teams in the Central, and Dallas not far behind. And, you know, even Nashville has been a team of fits and starts. St. Louis seems to be the scariest team right now, but it's just been fascinating with the way this division has played out. And the Blackhawks do have a say here, just as they did. They couldn't prevent Winnipeg from getting 2 points on Monday night, but with all these opponents that they face in the final week of the season, you know, if they continue to come out and play hard, they'll have a say in how every team slots here in the playoffs if they can't, unfortunately, be in it, too.
Well, I speak in facts that the Jets are in first place. No, I know what you mean. I was watching the first period, and there were a lot of shifts I noticed that the Jets were even having trouble in the Hawks' D zone. The Hawks were doing, the Hawks were playing really well in the first period defensively. I thought they were breaking up, getting in a lot of lanes.
They were still behind 2-1 after 20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah. They were getting in a lot of lanes and breaking plays up with their sticks. It's kind of some of the best D zone coverage I saw for a few minutes in the first period. So a better team kind of finds ways around that, especially maybe against these Hawks. But there's some holes there with the Jets. You don't know how things are going to finish here because it's still tight this late.
Yeah, and you know, if Connor Hellebuyck will be their guy, how deep can he take them? Goalie's such, you know, a crucial part, as we all know, of the postseason. And then in the Pacific, Calgary has already clinched the number one seed in the West. They have home ice as long as they're in it, so good on them. They had a little bit of a, you know, stumble a couple of weeks back. They seem to be back on track. Now, Vegas and San Jose have fallen off a little bit lately. You know, they're going to be the other two teams in that mix, but they're kind of in scramble mode trying to get into a rhythm. But all it takes is to get in, get a decent game or two under your belt in the playoffs, and it's sad to say the Blackhawks aren't going to be in it again in all likelihood at the time we record here, and this may be decided again, as we said. But I think it's going to be a fun Western Conference playoff to watch, not to mention what's going on in the East, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely fun to watch the West, but just watching some of these highlights while we record this, I mean, the Capitals might be able to repeat if they can solve the Lightning at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it might be a year as good as some of these West teams are with how wild things were in the West this year. Could be another year where we see the East win. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and we see and there's hidden points, too. You know, Colorado has been awful in overtime this year. That's how the Blackhawks beat them. But there's all these hidden points. Just like Nashville 3 years ago now, when the Blackhawks faced them in the first round, they finished as the eighth seed because of a lot of overtime and shootout losses. And you look at Colorado, after Monday night, they have 14 overtime or shootout losses. You turn half of those around, and it's almost a different story with where they're seated. So that's another team to watch out for. Grubauer's in a groove. Landeskog is back. And they've shown a little bit more of a tendency to get more balanced scoring, which has been one of their bugaboo from the start of the season. So provided Colorado does take care of things and get that final seed, they're going to be fun to watch. All right, I understand you had some movie viewing here recently upon suggestion, it's late and I'm losing my voice. Upon suggestion from, did Brendan Perlini turn you on to this?
I think we talked about it on a podcast. He mentioned it a long time ago, maybe like a month and a half ago, something like that. And I almost felt unprofessional letting it go so long and not watching it so I could relate
What's
to
it?
Him. Free Solo, the movie, which if you remember when Perlini had his goal streak.
Remember that?
It was back when. It wasn't that long ago. But right before he saw that, he had this like whole new philosophy on life where, you know, this guy, the movie was a documentary that actually won the Academy Award for Best Documentary this past year. It's free soloing is when you climb a mountain with no rope. So you're a lunatic with a death wish. But
Drake Kajula,
yes, exactly. He was free soloing against Dustin Byfuglien on the ice. a mountain. I totally can identify with what Perlini was saying. You think about issues everyone has in their own life and goals and things like that and things that stress you out. And this guy literally is climbing mountains 2,000 to 3,500 feet up with just getting his finger on a little rock, getting his feet somewhere where he can push up for, 3,000, 3,500 feet up in the air. And if he makes a wrong move, if he slips at all, he's done. And not just the aspect of anything can go wrong, risk-taking, but the achievement to be so good at something like that, so difficult. It's a great movie. I recommend it.
And I suppose you watch this on demand at home?
Yeah, free on demand, Nat Geo.
Were you white-knuckling your couch?
Yeah. I was on the edge of my bed overlooking it. No.
But I would imagine seeing that on a big screen would be even more imposing, too.
I enjoyed it on my iPad, but if you guys want to throw it on your big screen, or you don't have to worry about waking up your family, go ahead.
So maybe Brendan should watch it again. And, boy, we're mean. But have you found that your writing has improved after watching Free Solo?
Yeah, it's fearless now. I take a lot of risks. I jump from one paragraph to the next.
It hasn't sped up your time, I'll tell you that. You walk in here at 11:30 when you tell me 11:15.
Hey, look, we got done talking to Carlton like right before 10 till. I think I did all right. I improved a little bit, but maybe I need to go climb El Capitan in Yosemite like he did without a rope.
Will that be recorded? I hope it was.
It'll be a live video podcast with you and Patrick Sharp doing play-by-play. Yeah.
I still have to get around to watching Free Solo. I vow I will. I did finally get to check out Green Book the other night, which was outstanding. It was outstanding. And, Viggo Mortensen goes from being Mr. Hunk to kind of an overweight guy from the Bronx. So if you haven't watched Green Book already, I would suggest that. So we have two more home games. I was so busy during second intermission because we gave away David Hochberg's suite for Friday night. David was in our booth for all our Ask Troy questioners. I didn't get a chance to glance over. I saw there was Euros tonight, and that great little not chickpea salad, but there's something else. Well, it's a salad. I'm not sure if you touch it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the one John always brings back to your booth. I don't eat that. I don't like the healthy stuff.
But did you get a healthy serving, at least?
I got some. What I did do, Chris, is I didn't want to mess around with the Euro, so it was an interesting game with possible elimination and things that are going on, so I want to be very aware and have my hands free. So what I did is I got myself three sliders.
They were gone by the time I got there when the intermission.
There's more than three. I didn't take them all. Maybe I should have taken two. Saved you one. But, yeah, I did that. Those are very good.
Yeah. I saw some rather delectable-looking baked potatoes out there, too.
Yeah, I had a lot of bacon on mine. The bacon actually dropped onto the plate, and I was eating bacon off my plate with a fork.
That's really a surprise to me. Now, speaking of which, Friday in particular, last home game, we're assuming. So do I stick around here midday and forego the workout in between morning skate and the game here? I usually come back around 4:30 or so. Should I forego that in order to finally dive into literally our much discussed midday trip on game day to Palace Grill and perhaps visit George and gorge ourselves and maybe even post some of the pictures from that on our season-ending pod?
I think so, and on our social media as well. It's a big meal. It's our final.
It's the Last Supper.
Regular season Last Supper with George at the Palace.
Is he usually there when you're there?
I think he's just off on I forgot what days. But he will be there Friday. I believe he said today. So I got to put a word.
So it'll be your second trip this week or third?
It'll be my second. I got to put in a word with my man John Dietz, but I think I can get you in to our meal. And maybe some of the other media will be there as well. And I have a nice picture.
Is there like a bouncer at the door before I can get in?
There's a password. You got to say, I know George. And you get in, and he tells you wonderful, dirty jokes, and you get to be yourself and have a nice meal.
And ruin my appetite with his dirty jokes. Now, and here's the thing. I'm planning. I haven't done this since that one pair of pants on my Navy suit split. I have gotten them fixed. I haven't worn them since. I was thinking of maybe wearing them Friday. And I think if we go to Palace Grill, that will be the ultimate test of whether that stitching right on my backside is going to hold up. So should I roll the dice with that? Or
I think if you want to be safe, get breakfast. Don't get a burger. You get a little wider if you have maybe lunch food.
Here's what I'll just bring a spare in the event of emergency.
Yeah. We were talking about getting milkshakes. I don't know if you want to do that with those pants. I've never had a milkshake there, and neither has Dietz.
So you went there today, Monday, for a midday lunch, and then you came back here and down some serious sliders during second intermission, about 9:50.
Yeah, much later. You know, we're talking like 1:30 lunch, and then I'm able to hold off after having an RX protein bar for a snack in between.
All right, well, I'll starve myself from like sundown Thursday until lunchtime on Friday.
You have time to go home after lunch if you want. Go back, you know.
I won't exercise. I probably won't be able to.
Sorry, you're entitled to a day off.
Take a nap. Take a nap. That's a wrap for this edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We want to thank the lovely, the talented Joe Romano once again for pasting this all together on his own time. And we'll tell you, our next one will come, we presume, after Blackhawks clean out and final media availability. I'm not sure if they'll take care of that on Sunday or Monday. We'll figure out a way. But figure early next week, we'll hear from a lot of the players. It'll be a fat one. It'll be a fat one. Speaking of going to lunch at Palace Grill, it'll be a fat podcast because we'll hear some final thoughts from probably Stan Bowman, Colleton, a handful of players as they scatter for the offseason, and we'll throw in our 2 cents worth as well. So figure early next week for the next Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, and we'll see how we roll, fly by the seat of our pants, if we can button them over the offseason to see what develops. But we want to thank you for listening. Be sure to check out the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy, and to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Leave a review. When you subscribe, you'll automatically have the freshest edition, a pop-up in your subscription. So don't hesitate to do that. Again, thanks to Joe Romano. Thanks to you for listening. Be sure to follow Scott at Scott King Media and myself at Bowden Tweets for any further developments. And we always tweet out the links to our podcast as well. So hope you have a good week. The Blackhawks are still in it, the final week as we speak right now. So it's been a good push, but obviously not where this team wants to be in the long run. That'll make this offseason even more important. So until next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you then.